So, Lieutenant, I understand you're from Mineola and you want to give some Easter wishes to your family here.
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of it. I definitely want to wish them a happy Easter. They actually live in just on the in Mineola, just off the Glen Cove Road and Jericho Turnpike near Westbury. So my dad is actually a pastor at a church there. So.
Okay. Do you mind if I ask what denomination or?
My dad is with a denomination called the Korean Evangelical Church.
Okay.
And I'm ordained with the Evangelical Covenant Church in America.
Okay. So you're a minister in the service?
Yes, I'm a Navy chaplain serving with Marines here in Camp Pendleton.
Okay. Is there any special thing that, how do I put this? To be a Navy chaplain, I mean, what did you have to go through in order to do that? Obviously, you know, you're enlisted in the Navy and everything, but I mean, you know, what's it like being a Navy chaplain, and how did you come to be that, you know, how did you decide you wanted to be a minister and a Navy chaplain and everything like that, if you could?
Okay. Well, I guess just to start at the beginning, to become a Navy chaplain, you have to be endorsed by a denomination, usually ordained. And so you go through seminary, you get a master's degree. The Navy requires a master's degree, and a certain number of years of full-time ministry experience, and then they'll commission you and bring you in as a staff officer to serve as a chaplain. So for me, I graduated from business school. My dad is a pastor, my grandfather is a pastor, so I kind of rebelled for a little bit. I didn't want to go into ministry, but you know, when I was in college, kind of found my own way, found my faith on my own out there. And even though I went to undergraduate business school at Penn, at Wharton, and I graduated and entered into a consulting job for 5 years, there was a point where I realized that this isn't what I want to do long term. And I kind of knew that offhand, but, you know, it's an itch I had to scratch. So after working in Boston at a consulting firm for 5 years, I ended up going back into school to seminary at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena. And while we were there, I entered in 2004, so that was right when Operation Iraqi Freedom 2 took off. And in our school, in our seminary, we had a pretty lively debate as to the ethical implications of warfare and whether or not we as a nation should be involved in this particular conflict, and a challenge was put out in our school newspaper saying that, hey, there's a lot of people who say, you know, I support the troops, but I don't support the war, and the challenge was put out to say that those can be pretty empty words unless you're actually putting some action into what it means to support the troops. What are you doing to support them? And whether you support the war or not, as ministers in training, you can at least serve as a chaplain. And support the people support the men and women while they're deployed overseas. And so kind of took that challenge seriously. Navy recruiter was actually on campus, coincidentally or providentially, however you want to see it, the next week. And I began the process. I entered into what's called the chaplain candidacy program.
Mm-hmm.
And finished off, I entered that in 2005, and I finished off my seminary degree and was commissioned at the end of at the beginning of 2007, and then I've been serving since 2007.
You know, I understand, you know, the life of an armed service member, you know, is hard enough, but, you know, the service of a chaplain must be equally, if not even harder, because you're catering to the mentally and spiritual well-being of those service men and women.
I mean, it's a challenge. It's a different challenge. I don't know if I don't know if I can say it's more, but it's definitely an honor as well to know that these guys are going through some pretty tough times, but to be there present for it, to be available to help them, it's really an honor. So I have a tremendous amount of satisfaction in my work, knowing that I can make a difference in these young, usually young men's lives, and then kind of get them ready. Not only just for their mission, but also for what's waiting for them afterwards as a citizen when they leave the Marine Corps or when they leave the Navy?
I mean, most of these service men and women, you know, they come home and you hear about that, you know, the after effects of being deployed. And I mean, what's the best thing that you can say and to offer, you know, them besides the, you know, they do receive some services when they get home, you know, psychological and everything. But I mean, what's the more spiritual thing? I mean, how do you cater to that to these men and women?
I think the what I've seen, there's definitely a plethora of different resources and sources of help. I think the hardest thing for a lot of them to overcome is the stigma that they have to get over to actually ask for help. And you know, part of that is just being an example for them and showing them that, hey, you know, my marriage is solid, but after a deployment, my wife and I go through counseling also because we've been away for 7 months, and it just would be helpful to have somebody to talk through things with and to show that I can go get help just as much as they can, and I believe that they should. Someone who is, you know, sometimes being religious, being spiritual, it can actually be a hindrance, because some people see that, you know, getting help from medical or getting help from other sources besides just battling it out between you and God is a sign of a lack of faith. And so part of my job is also showing that faith and medicine, faith and different organizations can work hand in hand can tackle the problems from different angles. And so a lot of what I do is just talking with guys, because they'll come to me because they come to me in confidence. They'll talk to me about their issues. The hardest thing is, once they talk to me, is to make sure that they get help from other sources that are out of my area of expertise. And I know that they can use help from other areas. And the hardest thing is to try to get them to take ownership of their issues so that, and to overcome that stigma so that they can get help from whether it be medical, whether it be the VA or somewhere else, in addition to continuing to talk to me about any other kinds of spiritual issues or religious issues they might have.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned before, about your wife. How long have you been married, sir?
I've been married for 3 years now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How'd your wife and yourself meet? Was it you were in the service at the time? I mean,
no, actually, my wife is probably the exact opposite of anything military. She's a former fashion designer. She was working in Manhattan at the time, and since I'm from the New York area, we have a lot of mutual friends. And I was finishing up my studies in Los Angeles in Pasadena, serving at a church in Los Angeles, and we had some other New York expatriates, I guess, out in Los Angeles, and basically just met through friends and started talking to each other on the phone. And then she came out to Los Angeles for some work for some fashion thing. And so we met and kind of did a long-distance relationship thing for a little while until we got married during my first tour of duty when I was down in Mississippi with the Seabees.
How many tours have you completed and been on?
I'm finishing up my second tour of duty, so I've been with Naval Mobile Construction Battalion 11, NMCB 11, down in Gulfport, Mississippi, and I deployed with them to Kuwait, and we had detachments in Afghanistan, Horn of Africa, Europe, which I visited those detachments during that deployment. And then I've been here on Camp Pendleton mainly with 1st Battalion, 5th Marines since 2009, late 2009. And I just came back off a deployment with them, with 1-5, in late October.
When was the last time you were back in Mineola? I mean, you have family here. I mean, they do let you out to visit, right?
Yeah, definitely. After our deployment, we had some post-deployment leave. Instead of going home, I went to Mexico. But my mom knows about that. We did come home for the holidays. So
okay.
from Christmas through New Year's. Split up. My wife is from North Arlington, New Jersey, so we kind of split time between home and spent Christmas Day with family in Mineola.
Okay, so your home is in New Jersey.
It depends on if you ask me or my wife. my home of record is still in Mineola.
I just want to get the record straight, sir.
Yeah. No. Our home is in Mineola. She's we joke because she's keeping her maiden name, and she keeps her New Jersey license because she's desperately trying to hold on to everything Jersey. But everything is officially in New York for us, for our family. So New York is definitely home.
Mineola High School grad too, or?
No, actually, again, since we were on the border with Old Westbury, I actually graduated from the Wheatley School in Old Westbury.
I know the school.
Yeah.
So. It's no problem. obviously, you're away this Easter. You know, you've spent many, you know, I'm not trying to downplay, you know, any religious holiday or any holiday at all.
Right.
You know, obviously, you know, Christmas and New Year's are tougher, but still, I'd be remiss in the fact that, it is Easter. You're a very religious man, and you sound like you do come from a very religious family.
Right.
You know, being away from them, you know, this Easter, what does that mean to you? But also being able to bring what that religious holiday, and you know, this sacramental holiday means to those people whom you serve. Just tell me what, you know, both of those mean to you and you know, what you're going through just at this time of the year.
Yeah, I think definitely Easter... It is the most important holiday in the Christian calendar, even though societally or culturally everyone always loves Christmas. Commercially, obviously, it's their favorite holiday. But I think the separation isn't as much of an issue because through the service and through the sacrament, through what we're celebrating, it kind of unites us together. And, you know, it's a little bit less so for Protestant denominations, but one thing I truly admire about the Catholic Church, and this is something that I tell all of our guys, especially our Protestants, is, you know, just how much we can learn from the Catholic Church, is that on that day, every Catholic Church is supposed to be going through the same exact order of service, the same exact liturgy, the same exact Mass. And it's something that every Sunday unites the church, but especially on those high holy days, those holidays. So, and for me, knowing that I'm going to be celebrating Easter with a very small group of Marines here, celebrating the resurrection of Christ, but I know that 3 hours earlier or whatever, on that same day, my dad was doing the same thing with his mainly Korean-American congregation in Westbury, celebrating the same thing, delivering probably a very similar sermon, because we're all celebrating the miracle of the resurrection and the victory of Christ over death. And that same theme, because in our church, and I make our church do this, I make our small congregation do this. The Evangelical Covenant Church is 150 years old, I'm sorry, 125 years old. It's got some history. It's connected to the Swedish Lutheran Church in Europe. And the tradition, not just in our denomination, but in many, many denominations, is on Easter morning, you say, Christ is risen. And then the response is, He is risen indeed. And it's something that we did in our church, even in Korean. We did it both in Korean and English. But it's just the traditional Easter morning greeting. And even though we have a very contemporary group of Marines here, I still make them do some of this old school stuff because it connects us with our history. And it connects us with so many other churches and so many other Christians that are celebrating the same exact thing that day around the world. And so this morning I'll be saying, Christ is risen, and my four or five Marines there will be responding, He is risen indeed. And that'll connect us with our families back at home. It'll connect us with other churches, other brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's a reminder to us that we're all in one family. And so it kind of helps, I would say, kind of bring bring down that sense of loneliness, because it again encourages that connection with people outside of our church.
All right. Well, I thank you very much for speaking to me today. If there's anything I haven't covered that you wanted to just let out there, or just speak to me about that I may have missed, or
no, just again appreciate you reaching out to us, and definitely if you need anything from me, please feel free to contact me again.
All right. Thank you very much, sir, and happy Easter, and God bless.
Happy Easter to you, Jeff. Thanks.
Like I said, best to everybody, and happy Easter, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.